This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Trump warns that the USA could do things Nigeria is not going to be happy about. He's responding to the horrific Christian persecution in Nigeria, a crisis that we can no longer ignore. In addition to that, we have what will in effect be the persecution of the Jewish people through the Madami effect. Two inexorable rules of Jewish history are that every exile comes to an end, and that Jews are always too late to realize that. And now, says a Jewish rabbi, the Jewish moment in America is over. Over. So we take a look at the area of massive persecution, and we take a look at the Mondami effect here in America today. And quite frankly, if you are not yet aware of it, if you've had your head in the sand for some reason, maybe you didn't even vote. Maybe you didn't vote in your state, in your county. Maybe you didn't vote anywhere. Maybe you didn't vote in New York. Maybe you didn't vote in New Jersey. Maybe you didn't vote in Virginia. Shame on you. Because if you didn't vote, you did. You voted for exactly the opposite of what you might have voted for had you voted. Today we look at signs and symptoms. Signs and symptoms. Watching prophecy's whirlwind do its number right in front of our eyes. Watching prophecy's whirlwind. Signs and symptoms. You know, if you take a look at the book of Matthew chapter 24 called the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is responding to his disciples a couple of days before his persecution, and they're there on the Mount of Olives overlooking the eastern gate of Jerusalem. And his disciples ask him what would be the sign of his coming and at the end of the age. And his first response were, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, are people deceiving many? Absolutely they are. Men are deceiving many all over the place. In fact, could it be that that's what happened in these last elections? Not only in New York, but in New Jersey and in Virginia? And what is perhaps foretelling to happen, for instance, in California, where they virtually completely exiled all conservatives and Republicans through Proposition 50. This is a form of political persecution that is taking place. It has nothing whatsoever to do with democracy. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the Democratic Republic. It has everything to do with despising the very foundations of this country and rebelling against them. Now, if indeed you are one of those who were consistent with the foundations of this country, whether it be through the Pilgrims in 1620 or those that landed at Berkeley Hundred in Virginia in 1607, or whether you are among those who landed there in Massachusetts Bay in 1630, regardless of which group you were with, they all claimed the Bible as the foundation for and the very purpose for their landing. 12 of the original 13 countries state in their constitutions that the very purpose for their founding was to establish the gospel and the foundation for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ across the seven seas and the seven continents. That was the foundation of the country. So if we go to 1830, 200 years later, when the secular philosopher, sociologist, whatever you want to call him, Alexis de Tocqueville, came over to America to try to find out what it was that was making America great and why America had endured a revolution so positively when France had not. Even though France had had a revolution very similar, seemingly similar in nature, promising liberty, equality, and fraternity, they got neither liberty nor equality nor fraternity. They defeated all of those things. It was a war against Christianity is what it was. The French Revolution was an outright war against the Christian faith and anyone who stood for it, including anyone in a broader culture that embraced any aspects of the Christian faith, even including 7 days in a week, 12 months in a year. Any of those things were no longer acceptable. Everything had to be converted to multiples of 10, from whence the decimal system came in a revolution against everything biblical and everything of the Christian faith. Are we seeing that same kind of thing happening today, right in front of our eyes, but we don't see it for what it is? We think it's just a political thing. We think it's, well, this is just, you know, the young folks, and this is just that, and this is just, and we rationalize things that way. But are we not seeing the greater impact of this? You see, the French Revolution was like a type of the final days of world history. You see, first there was the terror that came about, analogous to the first half of a seven-year period, the 70th week of Daniel, that the Bible does not call the tribulation. Only some theologians do. But the Bible doesn't call it the tribulation. It says the 70th week of Daniel. Jesus said there would be tribulation and times of trial and so on throughout our lives. Every Christian would face them. The Apostle Paul said the same. Peter said the same. John said the same. James said the same. They all said the same thing. But they didn't call it the tribulation. Jesus in Matthew 24 then talked about a great tribulation, one that would accelerate the earlier period of what the French Revolution called the terror, when people were increasingly terrorized and afraid. But as Robespierre, the head of the French Revolution, who happened to be a lawyer, by the way, we don't exalt him for that, but that's people thought he was so wonderful. The women worshipped him, literally. They literally worshipped him. If we can just but touch the hem of his garment, they said. And so he said that the original terror was not sufficient to produce the effects of the revolution. No, we must have a great terror. And so the great terror then that ushered in after the first half of the French Revolution became analogous to the great tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24. So we see actually played out in world history in 1789, and for the next few years, we see played out exactly what Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. Are we seeing now the signs and the symptoms of that being laid out before us in ways that perhaps we aren't willing to recognize for what they really are? Christian persecution in Nigeria, so great that the President of the United States has come out to woo and to warn Nigeria, you either get it under control or we're going to send in our army. Wow. And how about the Mondami effect? How about the Jewish people in America? And if it affects them, are you next? We'll be right back. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. Now, earlier this week, we had a special program with a Christian economist who showed us, in no uncertain terms, the serious situation of the world, its economy, and the United States and where things are headed with a one-world government driven and undergirded by a digital financial system. After that program, I talked to him the next day, and he said, Chuck, I have just discovered that the intent is to implement that digital financial system in America within a year and a half. Yes, you heard me correctly. And you might want to go back and listen to that program on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. People were astounded by what they heard. And you may be too. It's one of those signs and symptoms, you see, that is leading us into an understanding of the times we are in. Our guest was talking about perilous times. And what do you do? How do you deal financially, economically, with times like these? Now, I'm not necessarily here to promote exactly what he said, but he said what he believed, and the issue that we were bringing before you as a listener is these are those times. These are the times that all history has awaited as based upon the foretelling of the ancient prophets, Jesus, who spoke as a prophet, the apostles, and here we are. So, is there provision made for perilous times? What would God do for true followers, believers, a remnant of believers who are truly seeking to follow him? How would he meet their needs? What would he do? In my book, When Persecution Comes, my latest book, the opening words of part three are called Provision for Perilous Times. Worldly conformity so colors our spiritual perception as to blind us to even the need for the provision that the Lord promises. But God is not ignorant of the ravages of persecution that will increasingly sweep the earth immediately preceding Christ's return. Christ himself warned of both the fact of such persecution and the supreme testing it would present to his followers. Just take a look at John 16:2, by the way. Jesus made every reasonable effort both to warn of that which would come and to prepare the minds and hearts of those who would claim to be his disciples. He put things into ultimate perspective, helping us to properly perceive the comparative value of preserving fleshly life on earth as compared to eternal life rooted deeply in faith. Showing that he himself would lead the way, he announced that his own hour of suffering, ultimate persecution, had come, but then applied the necessary mind and heart set to endure to those who would follow. And here are his words. He that loves his life more than his eternal life shall lose it. And he that hates or loves not less his own life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, we must perceive and value God's provision for perilous times. But in order to truly perceive and value God's provision, we must first come to not only cognitively admit but also spiritually embrace the promised reality of the perilous times now sweeping across our world that will soon become a veritable tsunami. So, I urge you to get a copy of the book When Persecution Comes because it's all about preparing our hearts and lives for these kinds of times. It's an encouraging book. Yes, it's encouragement in the face of Perilous times. The Apostle Paul said they're going to be perilous times. Jesus warned about it. James warned about it. Peter warned about it. I mean, how much warning do we need? Are we playing like a two-year-old, putting our hands over our eyes and saying, look, God, you can't see me, or I don't really believe it? We either believe what Jesus and his disciples said, or we don't, right? So if you believe that, then we want to encourage you. And that's why I believe God inspired me to write this book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. And it's a $25 book. yours for $22 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org, or you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I really don't think you're going to be disappointed. I really don't. I think you're going to find that it is indeed exactly how I am presenting it, and it does lay out the signs of our times, the symptoms, one of which is major persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will. He didn't say they might. He said they will persecute you. Paul, the apostle, said, everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not those who claim to be a Christian but don't live godly, but everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ and lives godly will suffer persecution. So in that context, we take a quick look at what's happening in Nigeria, because this is, shall we say, in the world as we see it today, this is the biggest issue concerning persecution that we have right now. It's the focus of the world. It's the focus of the U.S. government. It's the focus of the Trump administration right now. Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, has ordered the Pentagon to prepare for potential attack on Nigeria because he says not enough is being done to stop the killings of Christians. So, he's repeated a threat of military action in Nigeria by sharing a video saying that America will do things to Nigeria that Nigeria is not going to be happy about if the killings of Christians continue. That means it has to be very severe. Nigeria has vehemently denied that Christians in the country are being targeted for their religion. But the Trump administration has not accepted this, and last week announced plans to designate Nigeria a country of particular concern. And that listing of Nigeria as a country of particular concern for religious freedom also sets the legal and diplomatic framework for further measures, including aid restrictions and possible military intervention. Now, that's pretty severe. Reuters came out. Trump threatens U.S. military action in Nigeria over treatment of Christians. Not only in Nigeria, it's all over. Trump posts a new video saying Christianity is facing an existential threat. This, my friends, is very big. Just 4 days after President Trump warned of U.S. military action in Nigeria, with guns ablazing over the killing of Christians, the commander-in-chief on Wednesday issued a video statement amplifying his threat. He said the killing of Christians is not going to happen. He said Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter, and I'm hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's a legal definition. When the Christians or any such group is slaughtered like this is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,400 worldwide, that horrible numbers, something has got to be done, he said. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. It's not only Nigeria, it's all over the world, he said. And we stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. The killing of Christians is not going to happen. Well, that's a bold statement. But the problem is that the spirit of persecution is rapidly growing all over the world. How can Donald J. Trump or any country actually prevent it? Can't. All you can do is do your best. All you can do is do your best. Now, the latest came today. Filani herdsmen in Nigeria on Monday killed at least 10 Christians, including a Pentecostal pastor. The assailants also burned down a Catholic church building and destroyed dozens of homes. The pastor's corpse has been found alongside two other corpses of two other Christians. The assault went on until 5 p.m. Tuesday and confirmed the deaths of at least 10 Christians. Others are still missing after the brutal attack. So it goes on and on and on. But would you ever believe this? In Switzerland, the sculpture of President Trump strapped to a cross goes on display in Switzerland. I'm looking at the picture right now. It's supposed to be an art exhibit featuring a realistic half-size sculpture of President Donald Trump sporting an orange jumpsuit while strapped to a cross-shaped execution gurney. His head, his eyes are closed and his head tilted to the right as if he had just underwent a lethal injection. This work, if you can call it that, was displayed earlier in the year in Vienna, Austria. It's been featured in Basel, Switzerland since Saturday and will be shown in the northern Swiss city until mid-November. What do you make of this? Is this art? Not really. What this is, in the representation of art, a declaration of persecution. Strapped to a cross, as if the cross is a execution gurney. How is this much different than what was called for earlier in this country? Several Democrats called for the erection of the guillotine again. Yes, that's true. We announced it right here on Viewpoint. You see, these are not just isolated instances. They are symptoms of something that is much bigger behind the scenes, that is growing very quickly. Signs and symptoms. Signs and symptoms of perilous times that inaugurate, lay the foundation, pave the way toward the second coming of Jesus Christ and all the things that occur before that, from which the Bible does not say you're going to be delivered. The Bible only says that professing Christians will not have to endure the specific outpouring of the wrath of God that is designed to be poured out only on the children of disobedience. That begins at the end of Revelation chapter 6. There is no promise in the Bible anywhere, no matter what anybody tells you, no promise in the Bible that you are going to escape or have any hope of escaping directly that which is promised because of the degenerating nature of society, as it was in the days of Noah when violence covered the earth, as it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, where sexual immorality, any form of immorality, was so rampant that God said, there's no hope, and demolished it with fire and brimstone. That's what Jesus said. What do you say? Next, we talk about the Mamdani effect. I hope you'll stay tuned because there's so much for us to understand here. This is Viewpoint. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. From Israel National News today came this report. The Mamdani effect. The Jewish moment in America is over. Written by Rabbi Stephen Pruzanski, who also is a lawyer. He asked the question, how in the world did a Jew-hating Muslim who considers Israel and its supporters illegitimate become the mayor-elect of New York City? And what are its implications for the Jewish future in America and for the state of Israel? Remember the title of the program today, Signs and Symptoms? What happened in that election is a symptom. What will happen as a result of that is most likely a sign. Massive persecution, which is called anti-Semitism, of the Jewish people, which is a precursor to increasing similar antagonism toward followers of Jesus Christ, just as Jesus and his apostles promised. Another article by Julio Miotti, who is an Italian writer, very wonderful Italian writer, on Israel National News gives us this. Mamdani is a political tragedy for those who love Western freedoms. Thus begins the Mamdani experiment. A mix of socialism and Islam, even in Virginia. Democrats have elected a Muslim woman in Virginia. There's nothing funny about it. Mamdani's victory is a tragedy for America and for the West. That is why the Islamic Republic of Iran celebrates. Hamas is celebrating. The Taqiya mayor of London celebrates. Taqiya meaning deceptive or lying mayor, because he also is a Muslim. The jihadists celebrate. Mamdani will not wage a holy war or a class war, but a culture war. It will be ruthless, dirty, and ruinous. How did an Islamist socialist get elected to lead a city of terrorism survivors, like the Jewish people? America's most Jewish city, and defeat an Italo-American political dynasty like the Cuomos in what was once an Italo-American city, because New York City no longer exists. That's what Julio says. New York City no longer exists as we understand it. In 1989, during Jewish Mayor Ed Koch's last year in office, Jews outnumbered Muslims 4-1. When Zoran Mamdani defeated Andrew Cuomo, there were more Muslims than Italian Americans in New York City. Once America's most Jewish city and an Italian city, it has been refined by waves of mass Islamic immigration, as many European cities have. And as London has, you may recall London. Yes, the capital of England, our mother country, that supposedly is where the gospel first came across these shores, has turned Muslim. Let me give you a little bit of history here. First of all, another article from Israel National News, the Islamist capture of New York. America must wake up. This is about more than one upstart revolutionary, written by Melanie Phillips, another classic commentator. But before we get into her article, let me just indicate this. Right now, the Muslim population in New York is about 9%. Now, no, I think it's about 15%. Muslims have indicated that if their population ever exceeds 6%, they will control a country. The Muslim population is 15% in New York. Yet it's also the greatest gathering of Jewish people in the world outside of Israel. How did this happen? How could such a thing happen? In London, they elected a Muslim mayor, and the population of Islam or Muslims in London is about 9%. And they elected a Muslim mayor. How did that happen? Because the people in these large cities, which are the, shall we say, the financial centers of the world, have long since abandoned their Christian faith. There is no fear of the Lord. Even among much of the so-called Jewish population, they are so radically liberal while claiming to be Jewish that they do not embrace the faith once delivered to the Jewish people. They don't embrace it. They're Reformed Jews, which is radical liberalism in the name of religion. Even the so-called conservative Jews are not conservative. They've turned very liberal. So what's happened in the Jewish community is the same thing that's happened in the Christian community. So-called fundamentalists of yesteryear are now more like the evangelicals of that day. The evangelicals that used to be referred to more like fundamentalists are now more like liberals. And then you have the really liberal groups that once were so far outside the scope of Christianity that nobody would have ever believed they were even remotely Christian. The same thing has happened in the United States of America. It's not just a drift. It's an actual crescendo in a negative way, a running away from the very foundations that made and preserved us a nation. When John Adams, who wasn't exactly what we would call a fundamentalist Christian, but apparently he was a Christian. It was certainly his son, the sixth president of the United States, was. But John Adams said, our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. You say, no, he just said a religious people. Well, you have to understand that in that day, what they meant was a Christian people. They thought Mohammedanism was the worst thing ever, the greatest assault on the country and the world. Yeah, they did. They called it Mohammedanism, not Muslim or Islam. Now, when we talk about Muslims here, we're not talking about people who are what you might call cultural Muslims. People that grew up in various countries and so on, and that was just the kind of the given religion of the country. That they and their parents weren't necessarily following Sharia law. They weren't necessarily following all of that, but they were just, broadly speaking, identified as Muslims. We're not talking about those people right now. We're talking about those who are what you might call true believers in Muhammad's Islam. that believe that Jews and Christians must be eliminated from the earth or must be so brought under authority that they must be taxed into oblivion so that they could never, ever rise to prosperity again. That's what Islam believes. Now, as of today, there are followers of Mondami who are calling for Sharia law to be implemented in New York City. Did you know that? No wonder Melanie Phillips says America must wake up. Islamism has captured New York. It's captured London and New York, the two greatest financial cities in the world. So, she says, the effect of Mondami's election upon America threatens to be nothing less than seismic. Seismic. In other words, it's an earthquake. More importantly, what's happened is a major strategic victory for the Islamic world in its war against the West. Muslim activists are ecstatic that Mondami has conquered New York City with the largest number of Jews outside Israel for Islam. The editor of the Qatari State Daily wrote that New York was the capital of the Zionist lobby as the largest stronghold of the Jewish community in the United States. He said 2 years ago, no one could have imagined such a major shift against the Zionist narrative. Mondami's victory has put rocket fuel behind the already delirious feeling among Muslims. Conquering the West. And didn't even raise a gun. How could such a thing happen? Not only has he captured New York for Islam, he's captured New York for communism. Both at the same time. Here's another. World Tribune, guilty. Financial capital of the world sentenced to Marxism and Leninism. Sentenced. Now in the 21st century, people are saying unkind things about Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani, a proud Muslim and socialist who has taken the city that never sleeps by storm. He has promised to make the financial capital of the entire world affordable at the expense of other immigrants who came to the Big Apple to get rich. In other words, to take from those that have and give to those that have not. He hates billionaires. It's insane that a socialist was just elected mayor of the financial capital of the world, said one of those billionaires. We'll be back. Are you listening yet?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Persecution will test our patience, but genuine faith will enable us to prevail. chapter 10 of my book, When Persecution Comes, is called Prevailing Faith Amid Persecution. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Without such faith, it is impossible to please God. We must not only believe in God or that he exists, but rather we must truly believe him, that he is truly a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yet the spiritual battle against our souls, both from within and without, is raging. Spiritual survival demands victory. This is where and is the true test of our faith. Now, as professing Christians, we face varying levels of what might be best described as spiritual skirmishes. Yet these entry-level skirmishes have presented challenges to the broader body of Christ. But for Western professing Christians, followers of Jesus Messiah, they've been relatively minor in light of biblical prophecy. Such preparatory skirmishes exploded to biblical prophetic proportions in many non-Western nations, like Nigeria. And now, levels of persecution experienced throughout the non-Western nations is now dramatically metastasizing through the Western, purportedly Christian nation, reaching blasphemous levels, supported shockingly by American popular culture and politics. That, my friends, is what elected Mondami. You can say that it's about money. Yes, but it's about the trust of the people. The trust of Generation Z and the millennials that elected Mondami. They're the ones that elected Mondami. They were not raised by American Christians, not real Christians. Their parents were not true followers of Jesus Christ, nor were their parents true followers even of biblical Judaism. And so they had no anchor. They had nothing to trust. And so along comes the glib-mouthed Mondami, promising them everything they would ever want to hear. Free this, free that, free this, free that. Boy, it just told them all what they wanted to hear. Because they all live on an entitlement state. They believe they're entitled to free, 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 free. They have no concept of reality. But they're willing to sell their souls at America's largest city and its heritage for a mess of political pottage. And that's what they did. The same thing happened in Richmond, Virginia. Same thing happened in Richmond, Virginia, that 30 years ago was a red state and today has become a solidly blue state. Why? Because the same group of people, the Generation Z and millennials, coupled with the immigrants that have no concept whatsoever of the foundations of this country and have never been trained in them, collided together, mixed together to vote for that which they had no knowledge about. Freebies, promise of this, that, or the other, without any responsibility. A prescription for absolute disaster and destruction of the entire society. Now, not only was the election of Mondami a political tragedy, but we're looking at the implications of this. It's not about, Mondami is just a figurehead. He's not the actual substance, he's a figurehead. It's what he stands for. It's how he connects with a people who have abandoned the fear of the Lord in their lives, who have no anchor for their souls, and who are willing to sell out anything for an empty promise, or as the Bible would call it, a mess of pottage, like Esau did. That's where we are as a country. And yes, I'm happy for the effect, the seeming wonderful effect that Charlie Kirk and his ministry had and has had. And there are Christian leaders all over the country that are celebrating this and are saying the Generation Z is now in revival turn. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's just a temporary thing. But the people that were being encouraged to conservatism are not necessarily becoming Christians. And that's where Christians are getting things mixed up. While young men may be becoming more conservative, doesn't mean they're becoming Christian, followers of Jesus, because they don't have any such foundation. They just don't. We're not going to save our country through political conservatism. Only our commitment to Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord, lived out in practical ways, have any hope to save America. For the purpose not of an eternal America, but for the purpose of accomplishing God's eternal purposes as a nation on the near edge of the second coming. So where do we stand? Well, we're looking at the same situation that the Jewish people are under today. For instance, six have just been arrested following the death, chance of death to the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, at the Maccabee TLV Aston Villa soccer match. Big soccer match. But they yelled out, death to the IDF, causing six to be arrested. The Jerusalem Post says, playing under pressure, Israeli athletes now compete under armed guards and death threats. The Maccabee Tel Aviv fans were placed into a fenced-in basketball court near the stadium following a ban from the Europa League match in Birmingham, UK, in the mother country. Do you have any idea what this means? The title of the program today is Signs and Symptoms. These are the symptoms of the greater sign that indeed, anti-Semitism is upon us. Hugely. Not just parenthetically, not just here and there, but massively. Israelis face danger, risks in sport contests all over the world. That's the next headline from the Jerusalem Report. It's everywhere. But if you think that it's just about the Jews, you missed the point. As Tamar Yonah, an Orthodox Jew in Jerusalem, joined us here on this program about 6-8 months ago, she said, Chuck, you got to understand, here in Israel, we Jewish people say, it's the Saturday people first, and then come the Sunday people. She's referring generically to Christians who have chosen to worship on Sunday, even though there are many who still worship on Saturday, because that is the true Sabbath, as Jesus said, as the Bible says. But the view is it's the Jew first, and then the professing Christian. But only those who are living godly in Christ Jesus need be concerned about that. Because if you're just blending in with the rest of the world and acting according to the ways of the rest of the world, why would they want to persecute you? They wouldn't care about persecuting you. You don't have a particular bloodline that enables them to identify you as a follower of Christ. Only the blood of Christ enables that to happen. So if you're not living according to the word, will, and ways of the Lord, and your life is indistinguishable from Jesus, then why would they persecute you? So the reality is, there are two things we're trying to communicate. One, maybe we should seriously consider how we're living, claiming the name of Christ, but not living according to the ways of Christ. Not that we want to become persecuted, but we want to be faithful to the Lord, no matter what that means. Just as Jesus was faithful, even unto death, so he says we must be. So, we want to live according to the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord, and where we're not, we confess. We ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, because we want, we say we love the Lord, so if we do, then we want him to correct our ways, just as a father would correct the ways of his kids. If he loved them and they loved him, then they would be willing to submit to his correction, right? So, that's the purpose. It's not to intimidate people. It's not to come down heavy-handed on people. It's to use the word of the Lord and the issues of our time as the vehicle for presenting the truth and implications of the word of God in such a way that the Holy Spirit can grab a hold of that and work it into our lives, massage it into our lives, so that the leaven of the word of God takes over from the leaven of the world. Is that making any sense? I hope. So we want to be prepared, and then we want to be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So we want to get ready, and then we want to be so prepared in order to stand that we are able to come before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart, which enables us to have confidence before him no matter what comes. So that's what the book, When Persecution Comes, does. How to prepare our hearts for perilous times. It's a $25 book, yours for $22 on the website saveus.org, saveus.org. It's a very positive book to help us to understand in the light of what I just discussed with you. Now, if you don't want to follow the ways of the Lord and want to claim yourself as a Christian but not live like a Christian, that's up to you. But you're certainly not going to be entitled to enter the pearly gates. Because Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom, only those who do the will of my Father. You say, where is that found? Matthew chapter 7. Look it up. So get a copy of the book. Be encouraged when persecution comes. $25 book, yours for $22 on the website saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Write a check at $6 for postage and handling. And can I urge you, if you have not and have not been inviting your friends, sending emails, calls to them, encouraging them to listen to the program, they may listen and say, I don't like it. That's fine. Let them know. Give them the opportunity. This is something that you can do. Don't just keep it to yourself. If you value the program, let them know about it. Let them know about it. Be a carrier of the word. And then also, help us to keep going on the air here. It takes dollars, friends. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. Nobody gets any money from your donations. No person associated with this ministry receives a single dollar from your donations. They all go to keeping this program directly on the air. I hope you'll make that donation today. Maybe you do it every month. I think God will bless you. God bless, be a blessing. Get a copy When Persecution Comes.
been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.